Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Nina. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast.
Hi, how are you?
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little about yourself.
So I am from Pennsylvania. I'm an author. I have been a publicist for a really long time. That's actually how I started into the business. I edited for a little while. I'm not good at that and I hate it. I was like, okay, let's see where else I can go. But you know, writing is always what I really wanted to do. I'm grateful for the ability to publish.
I love it. I am so excited. So what inspired you for you to become a writer?
I think I've always written. That's like the canned answer, I think, that everybody says. But it's kind of the truth that, you know, you just sort of have a story in your head and you really just want to get it out there. And, you know, the voices kind of don't shut up until you put them on paper. So it's one of those things that you're just like, okay, let's write a book, see where it takes you. So I think everybody wants, you know, at some point, you know, a lot of people want to write. It's just whether or not you take that leap or not. So.
Yeah. And so you were a publicist, for books. So how did that inform you into your writing? Like, how did that affect it?
You know, it's interesting because you're on one side of the fence for so long. To put yourself on the other side, it's a little bit like sort of jumping blind into, you know, the great beyond. You are so used to the business from, you know, a certain perspective. And then, you know, you have this amazing relationship with so many bloggers and websites and reviewers and, you know, trade magazines and everything else. And it's like, do you sort of tap into that and say, hey, I'm doing this now, you know, can I count on you for support? And it's almost like you don't want to, you know, you're sort of crossing that line, but everybody's been so amazingly gracious. Mm-hmm. I can't even really express, you know, how grateful I am for that. So it definitely clouded the, you know, do I use a pen name? Should I, you know, do it that way? You know, and you still have all of the information, but you're not, you know, putting yourself necessarily out there. You're sort of doing it in a different way. And I just felt like that was a little dishonest for me. It was one or the other. So I just, you know, jumped in both feet and said, hey.
I love it. And what was your journey to get your first book published?
Well, Atlas, Clayton and I, you know, we were talking one day. I had just gotten back from Italy and we were talking. That sounds so bougie. I just got back from Italy. I had just gotten back and, you know, a friend of mine had gotten a divorce while I was there. And, you know, we got to talking and we're like, this would make a great book. And she and I sat down, mapped it out. And that's sort of what it was. And she had already published. So it was sort of, you know, really jumping into, you know, the deep end of the pool. So, you know, I think curtailed the normal journey into publishing. That was the first book. That was 2016. So then for me to do these, it was more of the first book because it was me by myself. Yeah. So I don't know. I love that book, you know, obviously, and I got to write it with one of my very best friends. But these sort of felt more like they were like the first sort of foray into it for me.
So how was the journey of just moving from a co-author to just putting yourself out there and just being like an author and writing for books?
Yeah. I don't want to say that it was wildly and drastically different because you still get feedback from people. Okay. So in this respect, you know, it was she and I talking about it. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't agree on something, you know, we had to kind of find a happy medium. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, now I have, you know, I have friends that read it. You know, prior to, you know, my agent getting it. And then she and I even talk and we sort of, you know, work through things. So you're still getting the feedback and stuff. It's just sort of in a different way.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Let's talk about your writing. Do you follow an outline or are you a painter?
As my agent will be watching this, maybe. Hi, Kimberly. I do. In fact, I have one here. I do have an outline that I write out, and it's like 8,000 words. It's absurdly long. So, I mean, you're talking like it's two chapters of a book, but do I stick to it? Sort of, kind of. You know, things sort of happen and they send you on a different path. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have to go back to the outline. So I do outline, but I wouldn't necessarily say I stick to it 100%, maybe like 80%. That's being generous, I think.
That's understandable. I think sometimes the story will surprise you and you'll find different things as you're writing. You just like realize like, oh, this character wanted to do X, Y, Z.
And you're a big writer. You're a big reader. So, I mean, you'll know how this goes. Like when you're reading and you're like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. And you don't want, as a writer, you don't want that to happen. You don't want to be so formulaic. So in a lot of ways, I think that you sort of put yourself in the mind of, you know, a reader, because let's be honest, we're all readers too. No matter who's writing, everybody's a reader. So I think that that's part of it, is that you sort of, you know, look at it from the perspective of, you know, well, are they going to figure this out? All right, let's go this way. Mm. So that's always where I see, you know, sort of veering off of the path that's in the outline.
Yeah, I love it. So you wrote a series. So how do you keep track of all the characters, the ideas, the inspirations, the whole, you know, how to get the series together?
Yeah, I think since this series started out 100% as a series, like, you know, the trajectory of it, I always knew where it was going to go, even though book two was actually supposed to be book one, but that's another story. I used Pinterest a lot for the character-wise, like, just being able to say, okay, wait, did I give her long hair? No. So it's not a myriad of pictures of one person. It's like, this is what Emma looks like. This is what Cooper looks like. This is what, you know, Charlotte and Henry and, you know, Nick and Parker, that's who everybody is. Mm-hmm. So that is helpful. The buildings, I was big on taking, or finding photos of the buildings and putting those into, cause like the town is, you know, essentially a character. Hope Lake is, you know, even though it's just the setting, and I hesitate to say just the setting, but it is kind of like this own little thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the borough building, I had a very specific place in mind. The B&B, that has a very specific place. So I kept track of all of that. And then for the actual town, I drew a map. So I said, okay, here's where, you know, everything is. This is where the mountains are. This is where the lake is. This is where the river is. This is where the town building is. This is where Charlotte lives. That kind of thing, because otherwise, you know, given that there were so many moving parts in this series, I knew I would forget. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, that's a lot of things to, it's a lot of balls in the air. So I wrote everything down. And, you know, gallery was great too, because they give you like a style sheet at the end of the first book. And it's like, this is how you spelled this. This is, you know, it's this four page, I should have pulled it out so you could see it. It's this four page document. It's the most amazing thing. So I kept it from the first book. And then they sent it for the second book, and then they sent it for the third book. And you really do have, you know, all of that resource, that great resource right at your fingertips.
Oh my God, that's an amazing resource. I've never heard of it.
I really should have found it and shown you, but it's the best. It really was the best thing.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially when you're writing book three and you're publishing book one, you're like, okay, when does this happen?
Because there's so much time in between them.
Yep.
I mean, it's not, traditional publishing is months of work on, you know, like the way that the editors go through it and the way, I mean, it's a lot.
And you mentioned you share work along the way. Do you share with friends, critique circles? Who do you share with?
I should probably do that. I should get a critique circle or like beta readers and stuff like that. So if anybody's out there, I have friends that read it. Locally, there's a group that meets at the library. It's just a peer review group, and they kind of go through it and tear it up and that kind of thing. And it's helpful because they don't know me. I don't know, you know, we know each other, but it's not like, you know, I'm going to hurt your feelings. Like, no, do it. Because, you know, the people on the internet aren't going to hold back. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, you know, and you have to be able to sort of take that feedback and, you know, yes, it's going to hurt a little bit, but you just have to sort of lick your wounds and keep going. So I do have, yeah. So there's a, like a local group of, well, right now there's three, that can, you know, I know I can count on to get some honest feedback.
So now let's talk about the series. Hopeless Romantic series. What was the source of inspiration?
I live in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up here. I went to college. I stayed here. Everybody knows everybody's business. And that always sort of tickled me, even though like when I was probably 14, 15, I did not like it because, you know, everybody knows your business, but I do, I like it. And, you know, I enjoy the sort of quirky characters that you get in small towns,
mm-hmm.
you know, the old ladies that just want to impart their wisdom on you. And, you know, not even just them, like, you know, just the regular people that you see and you meet and you kind of just have an attachment to. So I really just sort of wanted to see if I could do that in such a way where everybody kind of, you know, you sort of love the character, like the main characters of the book, but I wanted there to be the other sort of little quirky birds.
Yeah. Let's talk about the quirky birds. Let's talk about the Golden Girls, which are amazing. Which is your favorite? If you have a favorite or no favorite or can see them.
I think I love them all for different reasons. Like I love the blatant honesty of Gigi. I think she's just, you know, Gigi is Charlotte's grandmother. And she was very much based on my Nana, who passed away 2 Decembers ago, right before the first book came out. Right before her book came out, which was the second book. And then like Sophia kind of cracks me up because she's just full of wisdom. That's, you know, Charlotte's mom, and Mancini, who is just the card of all cards. So I don't know. I think I love all of them for different reasons. They're all very much based on, you know, loosely based on real people, which always sort of makes me laugh when people are like, no, I'm like, really? They are. They're, trust me. Trust me. They are real.
So The Great of You and Me is the third book in the series, and we share Parker's story as she sells a bakery. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the story, Parker lost her creativity. Like she sold everything, like literally everything. And so she lost her mojo in the kitchen. And so I love how Mancini was rooting for her from the beginning, like just knowing that she's like, I've seen you around, I root for you.
Yeah.
What's the source of inspiration for, first of all, for Mancini? Like that's the first one. And then let's talk about Parker.
Well, Mancini, I think, you know, she's been there from the beginning. She was in all of the books, and she's just sort of that person that you know you're going to get that sort of brutal honesty from, whether you want to hear it or not. And I feel like everybody needs that kind of person in their life. And I just wanted it to be in the form of a funny old Italian lady. So that's just, you know, it lessens the blow, because we have friends that will, like, we have our best girlfriends, right? And our best girlfriends are going to tell us, listen, you're being an idiot. Or, you know, no, cut the shit. This is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that that's the easy way out, but I just felt like she could get these, you know, sort of bursts of information and support and stuff from somebody else, somebody that's gone through, you know, all the sorts of trials and tribulations that you do in your life. So I wanted her to be sort of like the shoulder for Parker.
Yeah. And I love Parker. Parker lost her mojo. Like literally she comes to Hope Lake basically just lost. She thought she had a relationship. It just got ghosted. It was just like not a good place. And so Parker has to grow up and just try to find her mojo. And so what was the research like to get her to, for the bakery, like the recipes, YouTube, the business, the whole arc that Parker goes through?
It's funny. My son, who's 12, he and I love to watch, and I mentioned them in the book, they're called the Pasta Grannies,
yeah.
And it's this entire YouTube series with these little old Italian ladies in Italy who make pasta. And I was just like, my God, that is genius. So I just wanted Parker, I just wanted somebody that, so in each of the books, you know, Emma is born there, she's stayed there, she loves the place. Charlotte was born there and taken away, and then has to come back. So it's almost like she's forced. I wanted Parker just to come there and be like, you know what? I'm not from here. I wasn't forced to come back because I lost everything. I just kind of dig this place.
Yeah.
So, but she couldn't come as whole Parker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she needed something else. And I wanted it to be where she finds herself. And, you know, the mojo isn't tied necessarily to Nick.
Mm-hmm.
The mojo was tied with the fact, like you said, she gave everything. She sold all of it. She sold her recipes. She sold her business. She essentially just, that was it. There's nothing, you know, left to her. She had to start from scratch. So for me, what better place to start from scratch would be in this place that is just full of inspirational people, mm-hmm. you know, and tons of support and everything else. And sure, her best friend is there and this guy is there. So those are like added bonuses. But for me, I wanted it to be Parker and her decision to do what she wanted.
Yeah, I love her journey. I love the fact that she just came together, like, oh, like each piece makes sense. Like, she was following the crumbs. Like, it was not like anything was just like handed down to her. She was like, just gonna follow this crumb, gonna follow this recipe. Maybe yeah. I'll do this YouTube, maybe I'll do this. And yeah. the whole Nick situation was just kind of like in the periphery. It wasn't like the main source yeah. of, you know, a reason why I'm reading this book. Like, Nick was just like, he was in a relationship for most of the book. So,
yeah.
That was not the point of the book that I'm reading.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's always a tricky thing too when you're writing a romance is like, obviously the romance is there. You know, you can feel the tension between them. You know that, and you know eventually they're going to end up together. But mm-hmm. I needed her to sort of step out on her own first and not just to be like, okay, well, he's, you know, my person and I need him to fix me. Mm-hmm. I just wanted it to be sort of, listen, this is what I'm doing. You want to come along for the ride? Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And let's talk about Nick. So Nick was just an interesting character. Like he was attracted to Parker, they were together, and then he just ghosted her. Like, then the miscommunication happened, he was feeling, I think he was just, like, too sensitive about it. He's like, I want you to spend more time, didn't want to, and then just lost in a relationship, and you're just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, and I think Nick is a little bit misunderstood in the third book a lot, because I think while these are all standalone books, I think that you definitely get a sense of Nick more in the first two, okay. just for his character building, just to know, like, he's kind of a ding dong, you know, he's obviously the guy that will give you, you know, the shirt off of his back. He'll do anything for anybody, but he's also like a beer and pizza kind of guy. Mm. He's very simple. He doesn't need all of the bells and whistles. And when it comes to Parker, she's this strong woman who owns a business, who knows what she's doing, who's just like, yeah, sure, we can have sex, and you know, it, like, it doesn't have to mean anything, like, what, whatever, like, we're two grown adults, yep. you know, it's just like had like deer in headlights kind of thing. So for him, he didn't know how to handle all of Parker, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing too, like, he could be, you know, this awesome guy and still be like a bit of a ding dong.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect. So
I love that he was not perfect. Like, I don't think, because sometimes you read romance and you read heroes who are like perfect, just like, you know, this character can do you no wrong, and yeah. you realize like this one does wrong, and then he has to grovel, and there's a purpose why he's groveling. Like, he needs to, and yeah. he needs to grow, like, he needs to figure out how to communicate, he needs to talk to, you know, the heroine. There's mm-hmm. like actually the process of it, and
yeah.
you know, that's part of it. I love that. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I did. I love Nick because he's a good guy. And sometimes good guys are, you know, they're a bit clueless.
Yeah. So, what other projects are you currently working on?
I'm trying to work out like the end of the novella, which is sometime, you know, later in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a new series, another small town, series of books. I just really like small towns. This one is, it's beachy though. It's not so, you know, sort of centered in a valley. There's a little bit more going on, by way of, you know, just sort of a, you know, it's the same kind of situation in the beginning where, you know, somebody has to come back to town, and, but it's under really funny circumstances. I just like comedies. I like small town romance and comedies and that kind of thing. And I like friendships and stuff like that to be sort of like the hallmark of the book. So that's what I'm working on now. And then I have just a complete standalone that I'm toying with about a teacher who goes viral for like the worst possible reason. And you know, just how she has to sort of pick up, you know, all of the pieces, and she has to go again. Like, I love people that have to go home. Like, you know, they leave and then they have to come back. But she's actually she goes back to the school that she, you know, she goes back to teach at the school that she had graduated from. And it's a private school, so it's very insular. And, you know, everybody, again, everybody knows your business. Everybody knows what's going on. And, you know, add in the bonus of her being, you know, this viral, she had this sort of viral meltdown.
Gosh.
So she has to kind of, you know, again, it's comedy. I like that side of it. I like the sort of quick banter and like the, oh God, what did I do now kind of situation.
I love it. I love that you incorporate things that happen in current events, like viral moments or, you know, YouTube or things that you just, that you probably experience now. Like, you know, even the pandemic, we experienced that and just basically incorporate into a small town.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like, to keep yourself current and, you know, try and not put in things that are going to fade in a few, you know, years. Yeah. Like, YouTube seems like it's going to be around forever. Yeah. But I think that's a wildly important thing, is to just be able to sort of keep yourself, you know, current. And I think it helps us too to know what the kids are talking about today and stuff, which, I mean, I don't know what the kids are talking about today, but.
I know. I don't know. I'm still like, I think there's new acronyms, there's new things. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know, TikTok or anything that stuff. I'm like,
I tried to watch TikTok the other day. So, I can't even remember who, somebody sent me a TikTok video and I was like, why? Okay. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny.
They're funny, but I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get the TikTokers who live in a mansion.
Yeah. I'm not coordinated enough to watch a screen and do the, whatever this thing is. And then I'm too old for that.
Yeah. I feel yeah. So now let's get to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity to share with our audience what they should read next. What is your go-to genre?
Rom-coms. I love rom-coms, whether they're, you know, being read or watching them on TV. I'm a big fan of the Hallmark movies. Which I think even now, especially like given the current situation of the world, like you kind of just need that happy place. Mm-hmm. What am I reading? I actually, it's funny. I did a takeover on Facebook the other day and I asked people like what their go-to author was, because I was kind of trying to find new people. I've been using NetGalley a lot for that. But I was lucky enough, Simon & Schuster and my agent sent me two books that I just read from. One was from a debut author, which I absolutely loved. It was called The Marriage Code. And I'm not sure when that one comes out. Sometime next year, I think. But it was great. And then How Lulu Lost Her Mind, that was the women's fiction book that comes out in July. I really, really enjoyed that. And I just read A Rogue of One's Own from Evie Dunmore, which was a historical. Loved that. So I've been kind of bouncing around genres a little, all within the romantic bubble. And Sherry Thomas, the Lady Sherlock series, A Study in Scarlet. I bought the paperback books and I read the first one. I was like, oh, I really enjoyed it. So I bought the second one. But then I had like an Audible credit and I think one of them was on sale. So I grabbed it and I fell in love with the Audible books. The Audible books are, I apologize because I don't know who the narrator is, but she's outstanding and completely brought Charlotte to life. I just thought she was great. So I think if anybody wants to pick those up, I highly recommend the Audible versions.
Okay, I love it. I love an audiobook recommendation when they're like awesome narrators. She's like, yeah, okay.
It was just great. And I lucked out, I'll be honest, with these, the Hopeless Romantic series. Dreamscape did them and they are the best narrators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. So, and that's a huge, I think that's a very personal thing. Like, you know, some people you really, you know, are either attracted to listening to an audiobook or you're completely turned off by it. And I think that, you know, getting recommendations is a huge part of it.
Yeah, I think it's just like finding, because once you find a narrator that you like, you can actually go dive into other authors and other books, and you're like, you have like a whole backlist of books that you can
absolutely read. And how amazingly prolific some of these narrators are. I mean, there was one girl, I think it's Kate Redding. She does like these 25,000 billion hour sci-fi books. Oh, and then she comes back and does like, you know, a 10 hour romance. And I'm like, where do you get the time for this? So prolific. And I'm like, all right. But she's another one that I love to listen to her.
I love it. Thank you for the audiobook.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us where we can find you online.
My website that I never update, is ninabochi.com. I'm mostly on Twitter, Nina Bochi, and Facebook, sort of usually. Twitter's usually my go-to. And Ninapolitan on Instagram, but that's my kid, mostly. Book stuff and like random little like quotes and stuff like that. But I would say Twitter is where I'm most active, but I think everybody is.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends and share a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support the show. Once you join the Romance Loving community, make new friends, and get book recommendations, join our Patreon Romance Book Club. For $5 a month, you'll be part of a virtual book club, an Instagram chat, and get monthly book recommendations. Please note I'll be donating 10% of the profit to a COVID-19 relief fund each month. To sign up, just join the link in the show notes. What We Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a few days with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.